Right, I'm recording now, so that you guys know I'm recording. All right, now today's topic is to explain the name of Allah As-Salam. The name of Allah what? As-Salam. And then your homework is that you're going to summarize what we're going to be talking about. So you will not have notes, you will have to listen to. You can take notes, but I'm not going to put any notes on the board. You would listen to what I'm saying, and then you can listen. No. And then you can listen, because you need to do it afterwards. And then you can listen to it at home and take notes, and then do the homework. So the name of Allah is Salam. Okay, it has three meanings. And in order to understand the first meaning, which is the security provider, or the most secured. The most security provider or the most secure. Let's say the meaning of the word as-salam. What happens? What does it mean when I come and say as-salamu alaykum? Yeah, meaning what? No, not peace be upon you. No, doesn't mean peace be upon you. This is like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. What is the salam? Salamu alaykum. Means hello, you know, yeah, but what does it mean? Actually, it is equivalent. It is equivalent to hello, but it doesn't mean hello, huh?
May Allah be praised with you or something?
No. Oh. No. Huh? It means the following. It means that I am not going to harm you. I am coming on peace. I am coming in peace. I am coming in what? Peace. So I am securing you from my harm. Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. I am coming in peace. That means assalamu alaikum. Means I'm coming. So basically, if you say assalamu alaikum and you start beating the other person, it means that you lied. Because you said assalamu alaikum means I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to harm you. I am coming in peace. Then you reply and say, wa alaykum as-salam means I will meet you in peace also. Don't worry. I secure you from my evil. I secure you from harming you or hurting you. Don't worry. Come, I'm not going to hurt you.
Wait, as-salamu alaykum means I'm coming in peace?
Yes, as-salamu alaykum, I am coming in peace. Don't worry, I am not going to hurt you or harm you.
And then wa alaykum as-salam
means? Alaykum as-salam means me too. Means me too. It's important to know that I'm coming in peace, meaning that secure you. The key word is here, secure you. The key word is security. I am securing you from what? From my harm. I am securing you. Feel, I want you to feel secured. I'm securing you. By saying assalamu alaikum, you're providing security, right? You understand that clearly? Because the key word here is security. I'm not going to harm you. I want you to feel secured. I am not going to hurt you. I am saying I am securing you. I am coming in peace. I guarantee you I'm coming in peace. So if you start hurting that person, then you lied. Okay? You got it? So you don't say salam alaikum. They say, well, you lied. You said, salamu alaikum, I'm coming in peace, and I promise you I'm not going to hurt you or harm you, and then you start shouting and yelling or hitting. No. You got it? Okay. Now, the second point I want to ask you, and I want you to think about it. Is it okay when we meet Allah, is it okay to greet Allah and say, salamu alaikum? Is it okay, or is it ignorance?
It's okay. Ignorance because you can't really secure Allah. It's it doesn't work out that way.
Uh-huh.
Because he's much powerful than you.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't work out if you say, oh yeah, assalamu alaikum, I am coming in peace, or I'm going to secure.
Don't worry, I'm not going
to
harm you.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah,
and you're saying this to Allah, then that would be ignorance.
It's showing that you are capable of making Allah feel not secure and that you have that kind of power.
Takbir, mashallah. It's excuse me, who are you to secure Allah? Who are you? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who are you to secure Allah? All right? So then how do we greet Allah when we see Him? When the Prophet saw Allah, how did the Prophet greet Allah?
Wait, we don't see Allah.
You get to see Allah, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will see you and judge you one-on-one. One-on-one. And He will do that with everybody at the same time. Every one of them will think that Allah is only talking to him or her. That it's His power that He's able to talk to everyone at the same time and judge everyone at the same time. He has unlimited tasking. We can only do one task at a time, but Allah can do infinite number of tasks at the same time. Okay? Just think of it. A computer, a main computer, can do like 1 million tasks every second. Think about it. Then what do you think about Allah? Anyway, so back to the how did the Prophet greet Allah when he met Allah? Huh? How did he? Takbir! Takbir, mashallah, you're so smart. The Prophet said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat.
What?
At-tahiyyatu lillahi.
Wait.
The thing you read at the at your prayer.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah. At-tahiyyat. At-tahiyyat, the one you read in your prayer. Allah, the Prophet said, At-tahiyyat, greetings. Not salam alaikum, greetings. Okay? Greetings to Allah. He's greeting Allah. So, tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. Greetings to Allah. Prayers belong to Allah. Good things come from Allah. You know? As-salawat means prayers. Prayers belong to who? So when we pray to who?
Allah.
At-tayyibat come from who? The good things are coming from who? From Allah. So he said, greetings to Allah. Prayers belong to Him. And good things come from Him. This was the greeting of the Prophet. Then Allah replied and said what? No, Allah said, huh? What's the second part? At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat.
As-salamu alayna wa...
As-salamu
alayna.
Alayka.
Alayka.
Ayyuha. Nabiyyu. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right? Do you guys...
I thought the Prophet said that.
No, the Prophet said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. The Prophet cannot say, As-salamu alaykum. So that would be a fatal mistake. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. Allah replied, السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace and security on you are given to you, the Prophet, from me, and mercy and blessings are given to you also. So, security and peace. Security, peace, blessings. At-tahiyyat, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiy wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Security, peace, blessings, mercy, and mercy are given to you, the Prophet, from Allah, or from me. Okay? Then, the angels were attending the meeting. They all said, at the same time, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Do you guys memorize the tashahud?
Yeah.
It's a requirement in the prayer.
What is it?
The tashahud. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa s-salawatu wa t-tayyibat. Or it's, let's call it the tahiyyat.
Isn't that what you say when you pray?
Yes.
No, you have to know.
Yes. Go ahead.
So what the angels said, what does it mean?
I'm going to succumb to it.
Okay.
The angels say, "Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin." And every angel said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul." So the angels replied and say, "Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin." We ask you, Allah, to grant us security and to grant security to the righteous believers. Because if Allah secures you, can anybody harm you? If Allah gave you His security, can anyone harm you or hurt you? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it?
No.
No. If Allah provided security for you, then it is impossible for anyone to harm you, to hurt you. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. The angels are asking for security for them and for the righteous believers. Ibadullahi s-salihin are the what? Righteous slaves of Allah. So the angels are praying for security, asking for security for them and for ibadillahi salihin. Because the true provider of security is Allah. And then they say, everyone says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul." Yes, the shahada. And then if you're praying, now this is not part of it. If you're praying, you say Salah al-Ibrahimiyya. Salah Al-Ibrahimiyyah. Ibrahimiyyah means Prophet Ibrahim, which is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameena innaka hamidun majid. Right? Okay, this is called Salah al-Ibrahimiyyah. This one wasn't during the visit of the Prophet to Allah. You got it? Now, is it only the Prophet who understood that he cannot say to Allah, "Assalamu alaykum"? No, his wife, Khadija. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Khadija. And Angel Jibreel came to him. Go ahead.
Why did he say that Khadija was the first Muslim when she wasn't?
She was the first Muslim.
So Adam alayhi wa sallam wasn't a Muslim?
Oh, I'm sorry. There are two kinds, that's a very smart question. There are two kinds of Islam. The general Islam, go ahead.
Is that Sunni and Shia?
No. I meant there are the general Islam. General Islam means submission to Allah. Every single prophet and every single believer is submissive to Allah. So if you're submissive to Allah, then you are a Muslim. Because submissive means Muslim. In Arabic, that's just direct translation. To submit to Allah means you are Muslim to Allah. So everybody is a Muslim by Allah, to Allah. But the Islam, which is the five pillars of Islam, the specific Islam that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us, has five pillars. Right? Those five pillars.
The first one to believe in the five pillars.
Those exactly.
Who asked your Prophet Muhammad?
What is it again?
Prophet Muhammad was the first one and she was the second, right?
Yes, of course. But you understand the specific Islam? If you belong to the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you have five pillars. The people before Prophet Muhammad that were Muslims, did they have the five pillars? No. Were they required to do the five pillars the way we do them? No. So that is the specific Islam that I'm talking about. You understand now?
Yeah.
The general Islam is for every good guy or every prophet or good believer, which is submissive to Allah. But the specific Islam is the Islam of the five pillars that is specific for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that was the answer for her question. That was a smart answer. So now, pick it up. So now let's go back to the subject. Is Prophet Muhammad, was Prophet Muhammad the only one who understood that? Or is it obvious from the language? It was obvious from the language. Why? Because look at Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet. When Angel Jibreel came and he told her, told Prophet Muhammad, read Aisha, salam from Allah. Read salam to Aisha from whom? From Allah. That was what the Prophet said. That was what Angel Jibreel said to the Prophet. Because the Angel Jibreel is not allowed to communicate with Aisha directly. So he communicated through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, read Aisha. Read to Aisha, salam from Allah. Go ahead.
Use the bathroom.
Yes. And then give her the good news of a house in Jannah that has, that in a peaceful house in Jannah that made of
pearls.
Qasab. Pearls, yes, that is made of pearls. Give her the news of a house in Jannah made in pearls that full of peace. There is no noise, no, it's just like full of peace. Now, how did she reply? Did she say, and when the Prophet told her that, did she say, and peace to Allah? And read back, read peace to Allah? Say, wa alaykum as-salam, ya Allah? No, because she's an Arabian lady, she knows what she's talking about. So she replied and she said, Allah is as-salam. From Allah comes as-salam. To him belongs the ownership of as-salam. You see? She said, and this is what we say after the prayer. Say tasbih, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, wa ilayka as-salam. Once you say alayka as-salam, then you screwed up. Okay? So, if you say alayka as-salam, that's trouble for you. But you say Allahumma anta as-salam, you are the most secure. Wa minka as-salam, to you, or to you comes security. From you, you are the most provider of security. Security comes from you. Okay? Wa ilayka salam, the true ownership of security belongs to you. So she was smart in replying to that. Okay, now the Jannah. Do you know another name in Jannah?
Jannah. No.
That's related to as-salam.
Heaven.
Jannah has another name related to as-salam. It's mentioned on the Quran. It's called Darus Salam. It is like, you know, the name Jerusalem came from that. Jerusalem was called the Darus Salam, and then it became Darus
Salam.
That's
another word for Jannah?
Yes, Darus Salam. Dar as Salam. Yes, in Arabic it's Darus Salam. In English is the house of security. The house of security. Dar es Salaam, the house of security. The name Jerusalem, you know Jerusalem? It was, Jerusalem is in Palestine, and the name came from Dar es Salaam, and then it became Jerusalem.
Wait, is Jerusalem spelled with an E at the beginning?
Jerusalem, J.
Oh, because there's this girl in my school, and she says Jerusalem, but it's spelled with an E at the beginning.
G-E-R?
G-E-R?
J.
No,
J.
J.
J. J.
J. Yes. But anyway, you know where the name came from. It was Darus Salam, and then with time, the slang language made it Jerusalem. Darus Salam. Jarus Salam. Jarus Salam. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You know, it got twisted with time into Jerusalem, but it came from Darus Salam. Now, Jerusalem is not truly Dar es Salaam. This is just a name. Just like calling somebody a Jannah. Well, yeah, she is called the Jannah, but she's not a Jannah. Right? So, it is, Dar es Salaam is the Jannah. Why do you think this name is a very good, valid description of Jannah?
Nothing bad happens in Jannah.
Yes, Because if you are in Jannah, would you ever be harmed?
No.
Would you ever be hurt?
No.
So isn't it true that Jannah is the most secured place because you are under the security of Allah directly? No one in heavens and earth can hurt you if you're under the security of Allah. So now, how do we believe in this name? You know that we have to believe in the names and implement them in our lives, right? Right? The names of Allah are intended for us to apply in our life. How do we apply in our life? No, in our actions, in our daily life.
Oh, be nice instead of punching people?
Yeah, but that's not really what is it for.
Can I use the bathroom?
Go ahead. It is in our daily life, you apply that by understanding that the one who provides you the true security is Allah. Any security coming from any other person is false security. It's false sense of security. It is what?
False
sense of security. The true security is coming from who? From Allah. If you get security from anybody else, it is a false sense of security. Your feeling of security is not true, is not valid, it's false. Got it? Okay. Now, how do you apply this actually in your life? If you have a very powerful person, if the king tells you to do something haram, if the king tells you, to do something that will upset Allah, in exchange of security, in exchange of providing you security, royal security, okay, by providing you royal security. Okay, if you do it, if it's yes, then you don't believe in as-salam. This is if you agree. If you disagree, then you believe in as-salam. You got it? This is how this name is tested. This is your belief in this name is tested. You remember that Allah is going to test you? How do you believe in His names? Part of the test. This is how it's being tested. A mighty, powerful person tells you, hey, you have to take off your hijab or you will be in trouble. But if you take off your hijab, I would secure you from my harm. I'm not going to hurt you if you take off your hijab. I'll give you salam. I'll give you security.
Didn't Allah say to protect yourself, so shouldn't you take off your hijab?
Well, look here. I'm going to talk about exceptions. She's talking about the exceptions. Okay? The exceptions, if it is a life-threatening situation, then Allah permits you. If you're forced. Forced doesn't mean that they are going to hurt your feelings. No. Forced means that they're really physically going to hurt you, and it's almost for sure is going to happen.
Like in the Spanish Inquisition when they were telling Jews.
Exactly. Inquisition, this is a series of examples.
It was when the Spanish divorced all Jewish people from the Christians.
Yeah, they tortured him.
So would you, is that an exception? Would you turn to Christian?
It's an exception that you do. You fake it. Like you fake it. Like they tell you to do, take off your hijab. It's a life-threatening emergency, and it is for sure that there's no way they're not going to kill you, so then you do it.
That's like in a, like if somebody's all like, oh yeah, are you this person? And like, you know, they're gonna murder you or something. Allah says that you can lie during that time.
Yeah, during wartime, yes, you can lie to your enemy. Like, if your enemy captured you as a prisoner of war and then starts interrogating you, how many soldiers do you guys have? You can lie and say, oh, just it is 500 billion. Just like to give him a wrong number, to confuse the enemy, basically. That is a different situation. But if somebody, if a thief comes to your home, and then he says, where is your money?
In my head.
Then, no. Then you say, I have money here, in my pocket. Then he takes this money and you say, no, that's not all of it. Where is the rest? You are allowed to say, I don't have any more. Otherwise, you'd be stupid if you say, hey, let me show you where is the rest.
It's a secret. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, let me show you where it is. No, you don't. You can't say,
but
I don't have any more.
What if they harm you? They're like, tell me right now, I'll shoot you.
Well, if you lie, you're permitted to lie. That is what I'm trying to say. Because if you don't lie, they are going to take the rest of it. Okay? But if there is a situation where I am standing here and saying, I'm very mighty and powerful, I tell you, if you don't take off your hijab, then I am going to not provide you security. I am going to deprive you from security. So you can be harmed, okay? And you can be bothered, you can be bugged, you can be really annoyed. So Allah says, no. Don't take off your hijab. Then, if you truly believe, the question is, who is the owner of the true security?
Allah.
The king, can the king provide security?
No.
Can provide false security. False, meaning that it is just for the period of this life. As long as this king is alive, he can provide you with short-term, temporary security. Right, I'm saying if it is a choice, like it's like this. You get the job, you take off your hijab, you to get the job.
Okay.
For example, which is not a life-threatening emergency, it's just like this. Mm-hmm. So what you do is that the king can provide you with security, but false security. Why? Because what is the meaning of a short security in this life followed by long life in hellfire? What kind of security is that? Is that the security that you guys are looking for? Are you looking for a kind of security where you are secured by the king for like 20, 30, 40 years and end up in hellfire for the rest of for eternity? Is that the security that you want? If you truly believe in Allah, that He is the most provider of security, the true owner of security, He's the one who's going to really secure you, then you would say, no, I am not taking off my hijab, and I'm going to keep looking for a job. But I'm not taking off my hijab. Go ahead.
What if you were like in a life-threatening situation, but you did what they said, but they killed you?
You're shaheed.
We're shaheed.
Shaheed means martyr. Martyr, you go straight to Jannah. With all your sins are forgiven, your death is easy. Like people have a lot of things during death. The shaheed is promised 7 things. What I can remember out of these 7 things is that very easy death, like not painful at all. The Prophet said it's like poking with a needle. Now, other than shaheed, when they die,
they really get a lot of pain. A lot of pain. Really serious pain. I mean, pain that you cannot imagine. They say the pain of death is the worst pain that you have ever experienced in your life, and it's the easiest pain that you will be experiencing in the next life. The pain of death is the worst pain you have ever seen in your life, in your past life, and it is the easiest pain that you are going to experience in the next life.
Oh, I get it.
Yes, unless, of course, you are a righteous person protected by Allah, like Shaheed. Shaheed doesn't get the pain and death. Doesn't get merit.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, anybody, if you die defending your money, you're a Shaheed. If you die defending your country, you're a Shaheed. If you die defending your home, you're a Shaheed. If you die defending your family, you are a Shaheed. Defense, if you die defending your rights, you are a Shaheed. So all these things are ways of getting Shahada. Go ahead.
So I heard that there's a benefit, like if you're a good person, you die in Ramadan or something. Is there anything related to dying in Ramadan?
It's like good news that you die in Ramadan.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, there is something called the good ending. If you have a good ending, then that's a good news. Good ending is that you, for example, you died in a condition where your spirituality is the highest. You're motivated. Your spirituality is motivated. Like, you're motivated to do Hajj. During the Hajj, your heart is at the best condition, right? And then you die there. So, boom, here we go. You died on when your heart was in the best condition. And this is... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. But it's like, so if you die when your heart is at the best condition, do you feel like Jannah or...
Yes, Allah will take your heart at this condition and multiply it by all deeds. Reward you all deeds at this level. You understand? Allah, if you pray 10,000 prayers, Allah will take the best prayer multiplied by 10,000. If Allah wants, if you are a righteous person, Allah will take, so when you die doing at the state of Hajj, then Allah will take your heart and multiply it by, consider that was your heart your entire life. This is how kind and generous is Allah.
What if someone suicides their conscience?
Suicide what?
That's awful.
This is if somebody takes his own life when that person is not okay, is not aware of what he or she is doing, okay. Then that's a shaheed. Because that's like dying with cancer. Okay? As long as this person didn't know what he or she were doing, then they are shaheed. Because people of this kind, even insane people, for example, are not accountable to Allah. So an insane person or a mentally retarded person, Allah doesn't judge them. Are not judged absolutely.
What about
never.
Huh? People that died of cancer or...
diseases, shaheed.
No, what if?
But remember, I want to tell you, shaheed is not all the same level.
Yeah.
There are levels of shaheed. Just like everything else. Everything else is levels, right? Nothing is really black or white. It's just like 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%. You know what I'm saying? So shaheeds are level. If you die, if you drown, you're shaheed. If you...
But then how will you die without being a shaheed?
We're going to go on the whole week.
For example, you die out of aging. You age and die. Like, once you pass, once you hit the 60s, basically, if you die for any reason, then you're not shaheed, basically, for any disease. Because that's 60, that's it. If you die young with any of those, then you are a shaheed. But after 60, really, because you're expected to die out of age.
Yeah.
Okay? So basically, we're talking about someone who is...
What if you die in a car crash?
Yes.
Really?
But remember that.
No,
don't cut and paste. If you die in a car crash, you're a shaheed if you are a Muslim, a good Muslim,
but
like, you can't be a liar, cheater, and an awful
like
person.
Well, okay, I'm not a thief, but what happens,
and then
if
you
you
die
ask, what happens if you ask the person to crash into you? And
that
you
well,
that's
suicide, and that's haram, and that makes you go to hell.
Okay. No, she knows the answer, but she's just...
No, I just want to know if
okay.
that would work too.
Okay. Now,
so are you planning on telling someone to, like,
now, back into the true provider of security. So, if you really believe that Allah is a salam, then you should stand up for what is right. And have no fear. If Allah secures you, nobody can harm you. When you stand up for your rights, when you stand up against evil, then which one is better? When you face oppression, there are three kinds of responses. There are three kinds of what?
Responses.
Accept oppression. Accept oppression. Two, support oppression. Three, fight oppression. So how many responses? Huh? Number one, huh?
Support.
Accept oppression. Number two,
support
oppression. Number three,
fight
oppression. Are we allowed to do the first two? The first two are guaranteed to be permitted. So fighting oppression or accepting oppression, okay?
What's oppression?
Oppression, like somebody's trying to take your rights away, somebody's abusing you because you're a Muslim, or somebody tells you you're black, you're bad, you cannot be in blah blah, things like that. People who treat you badly because of your color,
unfairly.
Because of your race, unfairly. These are called oppression. These are oppressions. Okay? They are oppressing you because of natural differences between you and them.
What if it's like school people? Not school, that are your same age.
Yes, still oppression.
But what
anybody who treats you meanly because of natural differences, tell them, hello, these are natural differences intended by our Creator. Our Maker made these natural differences between us. This is his decision. I have nothing to do with it. Okay? So don't punish me for natural differences between us that were intended by my Creator, our Creator. It's not fair.
Yeah,
so what about people like Martin Luther King? Did they die as a Shaheed?
No,
because
he's
Muslim,
not Muslim, and he's
they...
just a loser. So.
To the best of my knowledge, that Allah rewards those kind of people in this life. So whatever they did good, Allah rewards them in this life. Yes, Allah rewards them in this life. So when they go, they don't deserve Jannah. And I will prove to you logically why. If a person is doing something not for the sake of going to Jannah, right? Let's say somebody is doing something for show off, just as an example. You ask this person, are you paying this money to go to Jannah? He says, no. I don't want to go to Jannah. Why? Because I don't believe in Jannah. You sure? Yeah, I don't want to go to Jannah. Then why are you doing this? I am doing it so that humanity becomes better. So that's why you're doing it? Yes. But you don't want to go to Jannah? No. Why? I don't believe in Jannah. Now, one guy, he doesn't want to go to Jannah. Are you going to force him into Jannah? He's telling you, I don't want to go to Jannah.
Oh,
you understand? The person,
yeah,
in order to go to Jannah, the least you required in order to go to Jannah, what's the least? Is that you do want to go to Jannah, right? That's the minimum. The minimum requirement to go to Jannah is that you have to want to go to Jannah. If you do good deeds for other than going to Jannah, for the sake of other than going to Jannah, then you basically say, I am doing this to show off. I don't want to go to Jannah. So why would Allah send you to Jannah if you didn't want Jannah to start with? That's not nice.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay? You got it? So, again, if you stand up, we have three kinds of responses. Support oppression, fight oppression, or submit to oppression. If you submit to oppression, there is no harm and there's no reward. It's like even. Okay? You're not going to be punished, and you're not going to be rewarded either. That's even. But finding oppression, you're being a hero in Islam. Islam, you're being a hero in the eyes of Allah. You are treated as a hero, and Allah will reward you as a hero. And if you're killed, you are top level shaheed. Top level. The Prophet said, the top level of shahada in Jannah, the top highest level, are two. One, Hamza, my uncle. That's in the highest level of shahada. Second, a man or a woman who stood up against oppression and injustice. And that man, because he stood up against that, he was killed. He said that's the highest level of shahada. If you stand up in front of oppressive people, yes, martyrs, there is no higher level in shahada, according to the hadith of the Prophet, explicitly higher than you standing up against somebody who's so powerful, a leader or a king, who is trying to oppress people, and you stand up and say, stop. Don't oppress people. You have to stop. If you say that, and that king or that leader kills you, that is the highest level of shahada. With Hamza, radiallahu anhu, in Jannah, which is the uncle of the Prophet. So, Islam does not require you to be a hero.
Was Hamza Muslim?
Yes, the uncle of the Prophet. And he died as a shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. Okay?
Wait, the Prophet died naturally, right?
Yes.
So he's
aging.
He's a prophet.
He doesn't need that, but anyway, you know, and that's why when he was dying, he got a lot of pain during the time of death.
Why?
He was in so much pain,
why?
And he complained from the pain.
Why?
Because dying without the pain is a privilege that Allah gave to the ones who die as shaheed. So since
so
the prophet,
he wasn't a shaheed.
But he died out of aging.
I'm the best man that walks.
He died out of aging, so because he was 63.
That's it? That's young.
No, yeah. That's young here because you have health insurance and you have a nice life. But over there in the Arabian Peninsula, if you make it to 63, you're really well good.
Okay.
Most people don't make it to 63.
Wait, was 63 like 90 here?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
100.
Yeah, if you make it. So, bottom line is, Islam does not require you to be a hero. Islam only requires you not to support oppression. That is what Islam asks you. Don't support it. Okay? Don't be part of it. Just try to stay out of it. If you prefer to stay out of trouble and you don't fight it, it's fine.
Wait, Islam asks you not to support oppression.
Oppression or injustice.
And oppression is what again?
Don't be part of it. If you really, somebody's trying to take your rights away from you, takes your money away from you, takes your home away from you.
Treats you meanly.
Yeah, treat you meanly. For whatever reason. So, if you truly believe in the name of Allah, As-Salam, then you have to do either one of the two. Either accept oppression, or fight oppression. Got it? If you accept oppression, then you don't get hasanat or you don't get sayyat. Okay? If you stay out of it. If you stay out of it, you're even. If you become part of it, you are treated exactly like the leader who's oppressing. If you fight it, you're a hero. And if you're killed, you're getting the highest level of Jannah. That's an explicit hadith by the Prophet. The highest level of shahada, martyrdom, is Hamza, and the person who stands up against an oppressive king and tells him, stop oppressing people. And the king kills him. Because of that, that is with Hamza in Jannah. Like that. And then the Prophet used his two fingers like that.
So I watched The Prince of Egypt by Disney. And, it was kind of right. But it turns out that Pharaoh was actually nice to Prophet Musa in the beginning.
Oh, okay. That's a Disney movie. Pocahontas.
Okay. You need to understand that the story of Prophet Musa is so much different.
Yeah.
In Christianity, it is almost, it is, it has main elements similar.
But
there are so much differences, so many differences.
Like Christianity.
Wait, so Pharaoh didn't like Musa anytime? Because in the movie it said Pharaoh liked Musa. Wait! In the movie it said Pharaoh liked Musa at the beginning until Musa started to believe in an actual God.
No, he just ignored him at the beginning because his wife wanted, the wife of the Pharaoh wanted Musa as a son, and she was defending Musa. So the prophet didn't just ignore him. Until
prophet,
he slapped, I'm sorry, the Pharaoh. Until he came to the Pharaoh when he was like 4 and 5, and he grabbed the Pharaoh from his beard, and then he slammed the Pharaoh in his face.
Why?
Prophet Musa.
Yeah, why did you do that?
He hated the Pharaoh, naturally. They are enemies. And he's a child. So the Pharaoh wanted to kill him.
But he realized, come on.
So the Pharaoh wanted to kill him. The wife of the Pharaoh said, over my dead body, you're not killing him. So they went into like kind of like argument. So the people, the advisors said, okay, the Pharaoh is saying he knows what he's doing, he needs to be killed. The wife of the Pharaoh says he's just a little baby and you're a big Pharaoh. How dare, how shame on you. So at the end, they said, the advisors said, let's test him. If he knows what he's doing, we kill him. If he doesn't know what he's doing, we let him go. So that's how they test him. They brought him a tray. On the tray, they have a date and charcoal on fire, and they offered it to him. The test was, if he takes the dates, he gets killed. If he takes the charcoal on fire, then he lives. Just a second. So what he did, he was taking the dates, and Allah made Angel Jibreel move his hand to the charcoal. He put it in his mouth, it burned in his mouth. For the rest of his life, he can't talk. For the rest of his life, he would talk like, he can't talk, but he talks like this. For the rest of his life, he can't talk clearly, and you can barely understand what he's doing.
Wait, the charcoal did that to his mouth?
Yes. Burned his tongue. And this is why Allah sent Prophet Harun with him. Because Musa wouldn't be able to talk for the rest of his life clearly at all.
Why would he do that? Why would he kill him if he
took the date? No, he took the charcoal. Oh, that means that he knows what he's doing.
He has enough intelligence that someday he might take over.
Wait, so what happened to the wife of Pharaoh?
After she believed in Prophet Musa, later on when the Prophet Musa became a prophet, the Pharaoh killed her by tying her on the ground, okay, under the sun, to die without food or water or anything, to die slowly like that.
What's his problem?
This is called the slow death. The slow death.
One of the top four females.
One of the four perfect females in the entire humanity.
Wait, so